This is Austin Pace with BYU Idaho Radio, and I'm joined today by Elder Ricardo P. Jimenez, a General Authority 70 of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder Jimenez was sustained as a General Authority 70 of the Church on April 6, 2019. At the time of his call, he had been serving as a counselor in the stake presidency. Since being called as a General Authority, he has served as an assistant to the North American West Area Presidency and as president of the California San Diego Mission. Elder Jimenez currently serves at church headquarters in the Priesthood and Family Department and as a counselor in the North America Central Area Presidency. Thank you again for joining me.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So before we jump into your devotional address, okay, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Teton River, Idaho Temple groundbreaking.
Uh-huh.
So why do we have an official groundbreaking event?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think it's the design of the things that we do in the church always invite us to focus on the Savior. Everything that we do goes back to Him. So when we start with a prayer to dedicate the place and what is going to happen there, is the starting point of several spiritual events that will come finally with the house of the Lord, a place where we can worship and serve. So the groundbreaking is the starting point of this spiritual journey that will come to an end when we have another house of the Lord on the earth, I guess.
Right. So what's so important about it, and what happens during the ceremony?
Well, during the ceremony, there's going to be some speakers and comments from people who have been there for a long time, people who can share their thoughts about the journey of the city and the place. And of course, I will have the opportunity to share a few thoughts, which probably will be centered on the Savior. And then a prayer that is very unique because it's a prayer that has been already written. So I will read the prayer. But that prayer has been prepared under the influence of the Spirit. So it's guided and directed. And there are things that talking about the ground, the place, that needs to be included as part of the dedication. So I think it's a celebration opportunity.
Right. So what's the significance of a town this size like Rexburg having two temples?
I think that's amazing. And it's not only two temples. It's two temples on the same street.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as far as I know, there's no other place in the world with that kind of situation. Even in, I don't know, Utah, that you can see temples all over the place. But here you will have it on the same street. So I think it's a blessing. It's an opportunity. You know, many years ago, I remember maybe 25 years ago, thinking about how can we get, I guess, a temple in the town where I was born. And we thought that we need to check boxes and to fill requirements to have a temple among our midst, until we understood that the Lord will put a temple where it's needed, where the people will be blessed and guided. So I guess that is a reflection of what is happening here in Rexburg.
Mm-hmm.
Another temple is needed and will bless the life of the people who lives here.
So we will have two temples here in Rexburg. So what encouragement do you have for BYU Idaho students as well as locals to participate in temple work?
Okay. So let me start with because I know that's how we say it, temple work.
Mm-hmm.
But I will invite everybody to ponder first that what we do in the temple is to worship our Savior. That's the reason why we go to the temple. So we put Him first. And because we are going to the temple to worship and experience things and feel things, then we will, wait a minute, maybe my ancestors will benefit for my time being in the temple. So I got to do some work there. And I will bring these names and I will do ordinances for them. But the starting point is the Savior, and then we think about the work. Instead of, I got to go to the temple to do temple work. And by the way, maybe if I'm there, I will feel something. What if we switch that and we start with the Savior, and then as an opportunity, we bless the life of our ancestors or any other people who needs ordinances they cannot do by themselves.
I think that's a great mindset because I think, you know, everything is so Christ-centered now. So I guess what advice do you give to students and locals to kind of switch that mindset and think first of the Savior and think of temple worship first, like you were saying?
Well, I have learned that maybe one of the first things that we can consider is there is a good and sincere desire from Latter-day Saints, from good members, that they're trying to do righteous things. And that's okay, and it's good. I totally get it. But we need to make sure that the things that we're doing is not just a checklist. We need to understand, why are we doing the things that we do? Praying or reading the scriptures. And don't get me wrong about this. Sometimes we think that my goal is to read the scriptures or to pray. But what if we think that actually reading my scriptures and praying are the tools that I'm using to achieve the real goal, which is about Him? If I can put that in the forefront of my mind, of everything that I do, I will understand that the reason why I do ministering visits is not just checking the box or fulfilling a duty. It's going to be that I love Him, I love my neighbor, and I want to help them. And then I will start thinking the things that I need to do. Same thing when I read my scriptures. And I know that there are going to be days where you are busy and you are stressed and all that kind of stuff. So you will just go through the verses, I guess. But there are going to be other times that, wait a minute, this is the tool that I have today in my hands that can help me to get closer to the Savior. So it's not just the reading. It's the tool to accomplish something. Same thing going to the temple. Is just going to the temple the goal, or that is the tool that I can use to get closer to the Savior? I think if we can think about that, that will help us to be more mindful of the Savior and having the right focus in the right place.
So just kind of to sum it all up, we're trying to be like the Savior, and what He would do is use those things like the scriptures and the temple as a resource to help other people.
Yep. This is about becoming. That's what we do. I'm trying to be like Jesus, says the children's song. And that is it's our daily life activities and experiences. And by far, I'm not saying that we are perfect. That's not what I'm saying. It's just this simple and sincere efforts that, you know what, I'm trying. And I'm going to use this thing, and I'm going to get closer to the Savior the best that I can every single day. And as students, this is a good environment to do it. There are a lot of people. There are people who need help as well, but it's a good place to be and to do these kind of things.
I'm sure everybody is so excited about this new temple coming up. Thank you so much for talking a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. So to dive into your devotional address, your address is titled Awake, Put on Your Strength. So why did you choose this topic? What was the inspiration for that?
Well, I guess the starting point is we need to understand who is our strength. And if we understand that our strength is Him, is the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the awakening part is sometimes we are distracted. And I'm not saying distracted by bad things only. Sometimes we are distracted doing good stuff, I guess, maybe not the best ones. And because we are so distracted, an invitation to make sure that we are awake to the spiritual things that can help us to put the strength, to put the Savior in us. And we can start talking about garments and other things, but mostly the help coming from the Savior to allow us to return home, our eternal home.
Right. And I think that's a great message, especially for college students, you know, school and work and social life, dating, all of that sometimes is so overbearing. And I think a lot of students lose that mindset of the Savior and really focusing on Him. So I want to talk a little bit about those distractions a little further ahead. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about I guess something you ask all of the students and faculty to do during your devotional address. Mm-hmm. So you ask everyone to pay special attention to the Holy Ghost so we can all be edified. And you link that with Doctrine and Covenants 88:122, which says, appoint among yourselves a teacher, and let not all be spokesmen at once, but let one speak at a time, and let all listen unto his sayings, that when all have spoken, that all may be edified of all, that every man have an equal privilege. Mm-hmm. So why do you choose to put emphasis on letting the Spirit teach paired with the scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants?
We need to understand that the Savior in the plan of salvation has appointed the Holy Ghost to be the conduit, the teacher for us to enjoy his presence. That's why when we start our covenant path with baptism and then the confirmation, the instruction in that ordinance is receive the Holy Ghost. It's something that we need to do. That's why we don't say we give you the Holy Ghost. It's receive. So when we have the action on our side, we need to understand that the Holy Ghost will be and telling us and talking to us, but we need to pay attention to that. And that's why we need to appoint him, saying, okay, what we are going to learn today needs to come from the Holy Ghost, not even from the words that I will say, but it's what's the Spirit it's telling you. Because I don't know everybody's life. I don't know everybody's challenges. But our Savior and our Heavenly Father, they do. And through the Holy Ghost, they can provide the individual need, help, guidance that everybody needs. So if some of the things that I will say or have said will prompt something, those promptings will come from the Holy Ghost, and that is personal revelation. And when we think about the invitation from President Nelson in his first address as a president of the church, talking about that we won't be able to survive without the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, that's why we need to make sure that we appoint him as our teacher.
I think that's a great reminder. Most people, you know, it's kind of like a teaching that we've been taught is, you know what, let the Holy Ghost teach you. But sometimes I think, you know, we get distracted, like you were saying, and we lose focus of that. And we don't really focus on what the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us individually. So I think that's a fantastic reminder, especially getting into your address. So you go on to stress the word awake in your address. Mm-hmm. You use the word awake 27 times in your address today.
Yeah.
So what distractions in this world shield individuals from being what you call spiritually awake? And how can someone change to be spiritually awake?
Yeah. And you know, sometimes people maybe will misunderstand what I'm trying to say with the distractions, because I don't have nothing against good, wholesome entertainment. You know, if you want to play or do something, fine, that's okay. But when we allow these things to take control over our lives and start dictating how we use our time, then these things start getting in the way or the connection that we might have with heaven. When we don't take the time to be still or make sure that we are awake so we can listen. Driving, I don't know, on the car, playing music very loud. You know, I'm Latino, so I will play music loud. I don't know if the Spirit will tell me something that I need to pay attention if I'm distracted with that. There's going to be time that, yeah, I would love to dance and sing, and there's a time for that. But still, we need to make sure that we are allowing the right setting for the Spirit that can tell us things that we need for our lives. And I don't know, too much social media. I have nothing against the social media. You know, as missionaries in these days, we use social media to spread the word. But when we allow these things to take control of our lives, that is when we start going into the distractions. We start being in bondage, in bond under these things. And sometimes even, I don't know, other physical or mental things or even hobbies or things like that, that is something that we need to be aware and awake.
So how have you been able to be more aware and spiritually awake in your own life? Because, you know, you you said that not all distractions are bad, and like wholesome, good wholesome activities are great. Mm-hmm. So how have you been able to, I guess, find that time to be grounded in the Savior?
Well, I think it's one of the first things is, it's not necessarily removing all these things. Instead of, it's not what we shouldn't do, but it's what we should be doing. And when we start focusing on that, that will start taking the right amount of time and attention from our lives. And some of the ways to do these kind of things is, how am I doing with my scripture studies? Am I getting something out of it? Because I can read and check the box, or I can read a few verses and say, okay, what's the message here? What is there anything for me here? Is there something that I can use in with my classmates in college? Or, and then you start getting things out of it. Temple worship. That's another thing that if we put it in our schedule, that will start drawing us or helping us to get closer to the Spirit so we can be awake and listen things. So it's not necessarily stop doing things, but when we start putting the right things in our schedule, that good things will start overtaking the other ones that we shouldn't be doing. And like I said, you know, our days start early. We go to the gym early in the morning before starting the day. I enjoy doing exercise, and I like it. And sometimes I play music. Sometimes I listen talks, but I do my exercise and then the scripture studies and then start the day. And we try to find a time to go to the temple, not every week, not every day. But these things will help us to be more conscious about paying attention to the things that are really important in our lives.
So I guess in essence, we're putting Christ before all of that, making sure that He is the focal point, and we're, I guess, prioritizing Him in a way and making sure that He's at the front center of our lives before we get into those wholesome activities so that He can, I guess, lead us through those. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that you got the point.
So in your address, you say, quote, "If He, the Savior, is at the center of our lives, we will not only have access to the redeeming power of His atoning sacrifice, but also to the enabling power that comes from Him to help us with our decisions, challenges, and concerns, providing strength, guidance, and hope to continue our journey as lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ." So how have you seen His hand touch your life personally? And what is the importance of this promise to each and every one of us?
Sometimes we might think that when you have certain callings in the church, you are coming from a perfect life and perfect family. I joined the church in my early teen years after the divorce of my parents. My dad is not a member of the church. My mom, she was baptized with me, but then she went less active a few years after. So mostly I am the only member in my family. When we understand the odds or possibilities of someone like me to keep serving in the church and stay active for many, many years, it seems that in these days the odds are not pretty high. But when we are able to understand the hand of our Savior in our lives and angels surrounding us that can help us, and when I say angels, I'm not talking about halos or wings, okay? I'm talking about people around us that can help us and influence our lives. That will help us to keep moving forward, to change, to overcome. And that is the enabling power of our Savior's atonement. He will help us. He can give us strength because He knows who we are, where we are. And His most desire, His ultimate desire is for us to return home. That's the plan. And it has been the plan from the very beginning of times. So He will help us through His redeeming power. The enabling power. The redeeming power is when we do covenants, He can take care our sins, our imperfections, and allow us to repent. But then when we start the journey, His enabling power comes in. I've seen that in my life. I've seen incredibly how he has been in the details of my life, helping someone like me, which I don't think that I'm a big stuff or too much, but helping somebody like me to keep moving forward, just to know that he is and he lives.
So we talked a little bit about the temple at the beginning, and then we transitioned into your devotional address, but I feel like the topic has pretty much stayed the same. And you have been talking about the Savior. And I think, you know, that is a central message. So what is the importance of the Savior in your life? And could you bear me your testimony of him?
How important it is for me. What I'm doing is because I know he lives. I know he knows and loves each one of us. I know this church, this is not an institution. And that is, it seems that sometimes it's part of the distractions. People think that this is an institution that we should change things or modify things according to what are the trends in the world. But when we understand that this is God's kingdom, that he's at the head of the church, he lives, he knows each one of us, he knows what is happening here. That can help us to keep moving forward with peace in our hearts, regardless of what is happening here. Because we know how this will end. He will come. We know which team will win. His team. And because of that, I know he lives. I know that particularly this week, Holy Week, coming this Sunday when the world will change. The plan will start coming to be more real through the resurrection of our Savior. And that's why I know that the tomb is empty. And the next time that he will come, it's not going to be a little baby in a manger. It will be the Prince of Peace, our Savior and our Redeemer, King of Kings. And I love him, and I'm willing to serve him. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And I really do appreciate you coming in for an interview. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Happy to be here, and thank you for the invitation.